So what I want to talk about tonight as we continue is our last couple classes, we talked about leaving doors open that give Satan access to our lives. We talked about repentance and submission to the authority of Jesus. That's what closes those very same doors. You know, when I come home at night, and I don't know if anybody else, it's June bug season. So all around the front door, there's all these little June bug carcasses, you know, and they're just waiting and itching to get in the door. And so we'll send the kids out to pick up the groceries, and they'll leave the door open. And next thing you know, the foyer is filled with June bugs. It's the same thing with spirits, with demonic spirits. You leave a door open, they're looking for a way in. But we get one of the kids, they get a broom, they sweep them out. You have the authority to dismiss those spirits in the name of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about the effects of continuing to sin. We're going to talk about slavery and unforgiveness. And we're going to talk about freedom through forgiving. You know, I just want to ask a simple question, and I never raise of hands or meant to insult or offend anybody, but just the question, are you stuck in sin? Are you stuck in sin? You know, I just believe that we get to a point as believers, mature believers especially, where we think, oh, I'm too good for that. Oh, I'm, no. And what you do is you lock yourself in denial. I'm going to give you an example. Jesus was talking to some of the religious leaders, but really just ask yourself, are you stuck in sin? Is there one little thread that you just can't get freed from? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt. You know, maybe it's spirit of poverty. But this is the opportunity to think about those things, to self-assess. And not for everybody else's benefit or curiosity, but for your own freedom and your own delivery. You know, I want to ask you, can you identify with Paul when he says, it's Romans 7, 18, 20. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm really not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Can you identify with that? I talk to so many guys that are trying to break free from addiction, from drugs to pornography to different obsessions. And they're like, I want to do better. I just don't know how to do better. And it's like we talked about last Sunday. You know, when you're relying on the flesh to deliver the flesh, it's insanity. Only the Spirit can deliver us from our sins, from our iniquities. So I just ask you, not never for condemnation, but for correction and conviction. Are you feeling that way about certain issues? I don't want to do what I do, but I do. Maybe it's just anger. Maybe we just pop off. Like, I don't like to talk to my wife that way. I don't like saying those things. I just do, and then I feel bad about it. You know, and then if you find yourself in these cycles, don't beat yourself up. It's just to understand that there's a thread. There's a thread that still, there is a June bug in your house somewhere. These Wednesday night equips are to find that June bug and put that rascal out the back door. Because I will tell you that Satan's looking for an open door or a window into our lives. Our biggest problem, one of them as a Christian, we think, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. And I go to church most Sundays. I get there early on Easter. And you think you're done. But what I'm telling you, you know from 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Lions don't take a break. Lions don't stop. And when you're indwelled or you're empowered by a demonic spirit, there is almost a demonic almost like a super energy that goes with it. You ever know these people that are manic? They're manic. Like they just won't let it in. Like just stop. And they can't. That's a lot of times it's not your own physical ability. It is a demonic ability. This is the source. the Satan. Satan is roaming around looking to devour you. And all you got to do is just leave a little space in your life that you don't confess, that you don't repent. Maybe there's somebody 40, 50 years ago that we've not forgiven. I want to tell you that time doesn't heal those wounds. Time doesn't equate forgiveness. You've got to be intentional about forgiving people. Otherwise, that's the door. You guys, y'all remember back when we didn't have HVAC? We just had an air conditioned unit. Now, there were seven kids and my mom and my dad, and I figured I was a favorite son because I had the big air conditioned unit stuck in the window. All it did was keep me really cold and teach me how to sleep through loud noise. But remember, you'd put that old stick in the window at night to keep it open. You see, this is kind of what we're doing. Like, sin does the same thing in our life. Sin is that little stick in the wind at night when you want a little cool air, you want a little breeze, you want a little break, so you don't have to keep kicking the covers off. But you see, too many believers, we think that we can control that sin. Look, I know I like to click that URL late at night. I know I go to that website. I know I get angry, but she's going to be cool. She's going to be cool. We're going to go out to supper later. That's not controlling your sin. You're captive to it. I mean, that's like saying that when you put that, remember when you put that old stick in the window late at night, that's almost like saying you can control what comes through your window at night. It's not possible. It's not possible. We cannot control sin on our own. We cannot count on our flesh or our will or our own desire or I'm a good guy or I'm a great girl to free ourselves from the grip of sin. We just got to remember that even believers can be deceived by the enemy. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us, these people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. But I want to tell you, I want to ask you, what about until the end? Why are we staying entangled to this deception? Why are we allowing ourselves to be tricked into thinking, well, it's just an Oreo. It's just 11:30. I'll go to the gym twice tomorrow. Why live in that deception? I know it makes me mad to think about it. I can't even check the text without my blood boiling. Like, why tether yourself to that when you can be set free? When you can be set free. You know, when Jesus, in John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Now, this is Jesus talking to believers. These are Jews who believed in him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Now that's a good statement. But then what do they say? These are believers. They're people like us. And they said, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Like, in hindsight, it's funny, right? Because I'm going to tell you, these people, they have been in nothing but bondage. To the Babylonians, to the Chaldeans, to the Assyrians, to the Egyptians. Matter of fact, while they're making their bold proclamation of deception, they're under Roman captivity. You see, this is the believer's mindset. This is our mindset. I'm a Christian, and I can't be in bondage. I'm a Christian, and I can't have no demons. You're right. You cannot be possessed by a demon. You can't. Possessed means ownership. You were bought and paid for 100% by the blood of the Lamb. You belong to King Jesus. But you can be oppressed. You can be suppressed. Suppressed, remember, is the internal influence. Fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give you a spirit of fear. If God didn't give it to you, who did? There's no neutral ground. There's no middle ground. It comes from the devil. God gave you love, power, and a sound mind. That's suppression. Oppression, people on the outside. False prophets disguising themselves as an angel of light. We can be in bondage, but it's a choice that we make because we're the ones that are opening the door. We're the ones putting the stick in the window late at night and expecting no mosquitoes to come through. The believer's mindset is an error when we think that we cannot be in bondage because we're a Christian. It's arrogance is what it is. It's usually, we find ourselves in bondage to things like pride and lust and fear and anger, unforgiveness, bitterness. I will tell you that we can be in bondage, but I will tell you that we can be free. You see, Romans 6:16 tells us, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can become a slave to sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. If you want to try to go your own way on your own accord, you're a slave to whatever that way you're being led to. If you want to be free, remember we talked about pride. And God said he resists the proud. And the word that we talked about in the resistance is antitasso in the Greek. And it means an army, to set an army, an array of force against you. And that means you're in pride, you're being resistant. You are not going to get through or past or around or over or under the army that God set up against you. That's antitasso in the Greek. What is the solution? It's submission. In the Greek, it's hupotasso. It means to submit, submission. Submit yourself to the mission. Submission. If there's anything that is keeping us in captivity, it's simply a matter of not working harder, not cutting off your hand, not cutting off your foot, not plucking out your eye. It is simply submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. So what keeps us in bondage? Well, the most common is unforgiveness. And you know, a lot of this unforgiveness, the root, it comes from hate. And I know you're probably, I don't hate nobody. Oh, I don't hate nobody. No, that's wrong. You see, that's your first reaction. But you see, Jesus tells us to love. And if you don't love, the opposite of love is hate. I will ask you, do you love maybe your ex-spouse? Do you love an ex-boss? Can you say you love maybe a pastor or a church leader that did you wrong? I don't mean love as in romantic love. That's not what I mean. But do you love as Christ loves? Because if you don't, the opposite of that is hate. And hate is a key to unforgiveness. How many times when I share with people, you got to forgive them, what's the first thing they say? Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they did to me? I see such visceral reactions bubble up from their core. And it's hate. It's high emotion. Do you know what they did to me? There's hate and there's anger and there's vengeance. And that's not love. So we stay locked into unforgiveness. You know, it's like, well, how do relationships get to that level of hate? Any level of unforgiven offense is going to fester into a strong negative emotion. If there's a pastor or a church leader, hear it all the time. Church hurt, church hurt, church hurt. Well, first off, the church didn't hurt you. Capital C church. It was somebody at that church. Have you forgiven those people? Have you forgiven them? Even if it was a slight offense, if somebody took your chair on Sunday, it's their first time here. What they doing in my chair? Well, now you're mad at them and you're mad at me because I didn't tell them to leave because they just heard it for the first time. But then you let it fester. Like, that Scott never does what he's supposed to do. Huh. And you start thinking about it and dwelling on it and chewing on it. And then you get some offense about it. Now, that's a silly example, I know. But that's how simple things can do. Things can happen. You didn't get that promotion at work. Maybe somebody else deserved it, but you start to hate that boss. It's easy and to see where unforgiveness is tethered to that root of hate. You know, Genesis 37, But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Now, let's be honest. Joseph probably could have handled it with a little humility. But he's young. He's excited. He's got an encounter with the Lord. But you see, this is where the root of rejection began. There was rejection. There was jealousy. There was animosity. And it grew into hatred. And did it unresolve? Was it resolved? No. You see, we go to Genesis 37:18. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. To kill him. Now you say, that's extreme. That's extreme. Well, there's other ways to kill somebody. Kill their career, kill their joy, kill their hope, kill their opportunity. But why? Because these guys felt rejection. They felt jealousy. They felt anger. They did not resolve this situation. I mean, how did they get to the point that they hated Joseph? I will submit to you that we've all got a little Joseph in us. We've all had a little Joseph in our lives. We've either been felt that way from others or we felt that way about others. And again, maybe it's an ex-spouse or an ex-boss or an ex-friend. It's usually those closer relationships that cut the deepest, that we've not forgiven them. And they've got us tethered like a marionette through soul ties. They can push a button and we dance. And then we get angry because we dance. We do the things like Paul says in 2 Corinthians. I don't want to dance. But those soul ties, that unforgiveness, has got strings tied to me that make me dance. You see, you can release that. You can cut those soul ties. You can sever those soul ties with scissors called forgiveness. But a lot of times we won't do it. A lot of times we'll get to a point of hate because we feel rejected. Those old boys, his brothers, they were rejected by their dad. I mean, their expectation was that they should all be loved equally. They are his sons. Back then, the honor culture, which this church practices today, is the first son was the son. Dad totally overlooks him. Yeah, these boys felt rejection. They felt bitterness. It opened up a door of hate. But nobody ever forgave anybody. Nobody ever apologized. So it continued to fester and fester and fester. And you know who comes strolling in that door? Satan. Satan came strolling in that door like he did with Joseph's brothers who got them plotting to kill him, just like we can do to somebody. We start plotting. We start thinking. We lay down at night and think, I'll tell you what. We got to forgive these people. Are there, let me say that. I think it's an expression. Are you living rent-free in my head? Mm-mm. You kick that out. You don't need no tenants in your head. But it all comes down to unforgiveness. It comes down to harboring hate in your heart. And I ask you, Are there seeds in your heart of hatred that have popped up or could pop up? And it's a hard question to ask ourselves because we put on our Christian makeup. We come looking good. Most of us wear a black shirt on Wednesday. And we come with this facade. But I just want you to wipe that off. This is a question to ask yourself. Like, do you have any seeds of hate in your heart? Is there anybody from your past that you've not forgiven? Because I'll tell you, hate, it doesn't pop up from nowhere. You don't just all of a sudden hate somebody. It's always preceded by an emotion that develops in response to an event. I'll tell you, a lot of times, unmet expectations, they cause rejection. That rejection leads to hurt, leads to anger, leads to hate. These brothers, they did. They had a fair expectation that their dad would treat them equally. But he didn't. They had father wounds. They were rejected by their dad. And that grew into hate because there was no forgiveness. There was no reconciliation. We find rejection. Jobs. in jobs. I'll tell you, I've told Leah, my whole career, I worked the hardest, never denied a promotion. I went from a deputy handling traffic stops to the chief of police. Always, 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 never rejected. And then I retired, and that same fraternity that I served for 26 years wouldn't even give me the time of day. I will tell you that there were some bitter feelings against those people. They didn't have any value for me because I didn't have any value in their world. I couldn't do anything for them in the natural. It took me a long time to get over that rejection, over that bitterness, where I pray for them and I truly love them. But where's their rejection in your life? Jobs is common. Church, amongst our peers, in our marriage, even from our kids. I know we don't like to think about that, but our kids can cause a bit of pain, especially prodigals. You know, I'll never forget, I was turned 21 years old, I was in college, and we were down in Florida on spring break. And my birthday, March 11th, if you want to write that down, March 11th, every year it happens to fall on March 11th. And you know, I'm in college, and we're out there partying. And my birthday came, my birthday went, and there was no cell phones, obviously, you know. So found a payphone, and I called my mom. She was so brokenhearted. She said, "This is the first time in your life that I did not hear your voice on your birthday." I didn't think anything about it when I was 21. But when I was 31, 41, 51, moving to 61, I get it. I get it. Do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed to forgive your kids, to acknowledge that your kids have hurt you. So what do we do to rid ourselves of the offense? Matthew 5 says, "Have you heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy? But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." This is what I'm saying. You're like, "I don't hate nobody. I don't hate nobody. I'm a good Christian." Do you love them? Do you love them? Look back at the people over your life that have caused a wound. Can you say you love them? And again, I mean love, agape love, the way God loves us. If not, you're locked into hatred. Forgive those people. Forgive those people. And I want to tell you, forgiving somebody, it's a choice. It is not based on how you feel. We get so wrapped up in the emotions. We get wrapped up in the emotions. And I always go to Romans 12:2, and I tell you, transform your mind. Renew your mind. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Renew your mind. The war, your spiritual war, is your mind is the battlefield. You forgiving somebody is a choice. It's not how you feel. Look, going to the gym, I don't feel like going to the gym, but I choose to go. You will not feel like forgiving someone who hurt you, but choose to forgive someone. You know, Leah had shared years ago, she was in a process of forgiving some people. And she's like, "I just started stumbling their name over my lips. And it hurt." She'd do it in the shower so I wouldn't see her cry. But every day, she would speak that prayer, "I forgive you, I forgive you." And then it became less painful to her as she began to release herself from the damage that was done to her because she made a choice to forgive. I encourage you. You've got to forgive because forgiveness precedes love. We're never going to get to that agape love for anybody unless we first forgive them. The only way we're going to love the way Jesus commands is if we forgive them. So how do we forgive our enemies? What? Well, forgiveness precedes love. Grace precedes forgiveness. And you know, for people that are like, "Well, I just can't forgive," then what I will submit is that you truly don't understand the gift of grace. I would submit that you maybe have a problem receiving grace. You're still thinking that salvation is earned. It's what you deserve. It's what you get. So I'll ask you to first deal with your heart. If you're resistant against forgiving somebody, is understanding that the grace given to you is the grace we're called to give to others. And I really want you to pray about that. You know, Matthew 10 tells us, give as freely as you have received. And we have received. We have received. So who are we to put a lid on it and say, well, you don't deserve it? I'm asking you to forgive every person who has wronged you. I just don't want you to allow an offense to turn into anger and then that turn into hate. I will tell you that it will destroy your life. It will destroy your life. This is such a wonderful opportunity to have freedom. It is a wonderful opportunity to be carefree. You may not realize the strings that are still attached to you, to your soul. Soul ties, connections, supernatural connections between you and somebody else. You don't see them because they're supernatural, but they have an effect on you. Like I said, until you start forgiving, you were so wrapped up. Every offense someone's done to you is like a little string on each of your fingers, and then each of your fingers. And then they start controlling you, and they start manipulating you, and they start causing you to act in certain ways. And you don't understand. You're like Paul in 2 Corinthians. I'm doing things, and I don't want to do these things, but I can't help but do these things. The reason you're doing these things is because you're attached to the people that have offended you. You're attached by supernatural threads, soul ties. But those scissors called forgiveness cuts those ties. It brings you into freedom. What I want to ask is that we can move into a time of ministry, a time of activation. And I'm always very cautious, but I do know that there's value. And I would ask that if you're willing and agreeable, as we go through, and I have a prayer, I want to pray and speak a little bit. But if you would create some space for yourself. I know when Lee and I went through Charis, which is a deep inner healing years ago, and they're like, well, separate yourself, get some space from your spouse. And I'm like, I don't want to leave her. And Leah's like, you need to get some space. So just as a, if you want to, if you're comfortable, maybe getting some space between your spouse, your kids, each other, just give yourself some room. I really want you to take this next opportunity to focus on the prayer and on the words and on the scripture. I don't want peripheral vision to interact or to interrupt. I don't want you starting to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and then maybe stop it because you're afraid of what maybe your spouse is going to think or your spouse is going to feel. And this is totally if you're comfortable doing this. It's not weird, but just giving yourself some space to be ministered to. And I'll ask you if you'll bow your heads, and I ask you to just stay seated because I don't want you to be uncomfortable. And again, it's nothing mystical. It's just to create an intimate, personal space. I don't want you to be distracted by what color flecks are in the carpet or the peripheral vision. I really do. I'm encouraging you to just take this opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. I'm going to pray over you. If there's any baggage in your life, let's let it go. Be set free. I want you to be set free. A healed church is a healthy church. I'm going to lead you in prayer. We're going to take authority over Satan. God gives us that authority through the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to ask you during this time if you would repent and ask the Lord to bring sins to your mind that you need to repent of. I'm going to encourage you to take this opportunity to not be prideful or not worry about what anybody thinks or anybody says. This is between you and the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows your heart. He just needs to know that you know. So I'll ask you during this time if you'll ask the Lord to bring any sins to mind that you need to repent of. Ask the Lord to remind you of people that you need to forgive. Big or small things. Even a paper cut can fester. Ask God to remind you of people that you need to forgive. Ask Him to identify areas of demonic influence, generational iniquity, or curses over you or your family. Ask them to reveal generational sin patterns. They say, oh, we just like a daddy. Oh, she just like her mom. You know, that family's always been that way. They're always going to be that way. I will tell you that you have the authority to stop it. You have the authority to stop generational iniquity. So I want you to take a moment and I want you to repent. I want you to hear from the Lord. And I want you to ask the Lord, who is it that you need to repent to? Who do you need to ask to forgive you? So while we're still in a posture of prayer, if you would just repeat after me, Father, I ask you to forgive me for all my sin. I ask you to release me from every bondage in Jesus' name. If you will meditate over that and allow me to pray over you while you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to bring up sins to repent and confess of, people that you need to forgive. So Lord, right now, by the authority you've given me, I take authority over Satan and I address every demonic spirit that has held my brothers and sisters in bondage, and I command you to go in Jesus' name. Not the authority of my voice, but the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters are covered by the blood of the Lamb. They overcome by the word of their testimony. They are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. And the angels who are mighty in strength watch over your work for you to perform it. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sweeter than honey and purer than gold. And his name is the word of God, and by the blood of the Lamb, we are set free today. We take authority over every spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hate, malice, envy, jealousy. I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke every spirit of insecurity, inferiority, fear, rejection, self-hate, self-pity, self-destruction, suicide. I command you to go. Every spirit of anger or rage or lawlessness, the spirit of sexual immorality, impurity, adultery, pornography, all forms of sexual impurity, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of pride, lying, Jezebel spirit, rebellion, deception, manipulation, control, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Criticism, arrogance, prejudice, racism, spirit of greed, materialism, selfishness, covetousness, I command you to go. Depression, anxiety, worry, addiction, alcoholism, drunkenness, gluttony, legalism, religious pride, false doctrine, stealing, slothfulness, laziness, unbelief, rebellion to authority, guilt, shame, embarrassment, humiliation, disease, infirmity, chronic health issues, witchcraft, occult, blasphemy. I break every word, curse and spell spoken against my brothers and sisters. Every generational curse, every demonic spirit that has held my brothers and sisters in bondage, that is listening to my voice, whether in this class or online, I demand you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you would pray after me, Lord, will you fill me with the Holy Spirit in every place that an evil spirit has left me. Please fill me with your Spirit now. Amen. Father, I pray you will fill my brothers and sisters with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, I know this is a tough class to teach because we're all mature believers. And I think the normal thing would be like, no, everybody's good. We've all been in the game for decades. We're the people that Satan feasts upon because we get a little lackadaisical. We get a little prideful. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I shared my testimony of deliverance because I want you to see. There was a thread, a small thread that was still tugging at my life. And going through these classes, I realized, and I know that the Lord has set me free. So I do. I want us to continue meditating on these things, praying about these things, receiving these things. God wants us free, and God wants us powerful, and God wants us bold, and He wants us radical. So if we can stand, and I'll pray us out. And then if you have a little bit of time, we don't have to rush. We can minister to one another and share testimonies. But Lord, we thank You. Lord, we're so grateful. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your word. Amen. Thank You for just clinging to Your word, proclaiming Your promises, proclaiming Your promises. We declare these promises. We declare prosperity and healing and peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.